Ooh, it's good to be here this Sunday, and I just want to say thank you from me and my wife. We were glad to come here, glad to be a part and partner with Emmanuel Baptist Church and putting together these Bibles. Pastor did like half my job already, just describing what we did and everything that went on, so I'm kind of not sure why I'm up here, but I'm just kidding. We'll be, I'll get into a message in a little bit. I want to show a couple videos as well this morning and try to give you one video is a history of Bearing Precious Seed, the ministry that we're from, and it shows where we started, how God's blessed us, and where we're moving to and where we are today. And another video is some of you were able to see it Friday night about a need that we have going on in a country in Sierra Leone and a need that they have just requesting Bibles. But I just want to say thank you for allowing us to be able to come and partner with you. Actually, this church is the first church for me and my wife that we kind of did the whole process of it, where your church contacted us, and I had to call and schedule. That was like my first time calling. I'm like, I'm not really sure what I'm doing, but and so we had been on like two projects before, just me and my wife, but this is our first project that we did almost everything, and so it's kind of a special time for us and just exciting for us to be here. And so just thank you for bringing us here and allowing us to partner with you. But I want to show the BPS video. It just does a quick, it's about a four-minute video, gives the history, and kind of just gives you an idea of our ministry, the machines. I just want to show that real quick, and I'll come back up in between.
So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. In 1973, First Baptist Church of Milford began printing the Bible. The first year, 12,000 New Testaments were printed on a small multi-lith press and bound by hand. The Bearing Precious Seed ministry at First Baptist Church began. During the rest of the 70s, churches began to partner with us to print more of God's Word. The total scriptures produced in the 70s was 266,831. Throughout the 80s, growth began to multiply. Bearing Precious Seed moved to its current location on Woodville Pike. Scripture production during the 80s totaled 4.5 million. During the 90s, Bearing Precious Seed added on to its original building three times, also adding the Heidelberg Press. Total production during the 90s was just over 21 million. The first 26 years, the foundation had been laid. Many churches partnered with us, and improvements were made. 26 million copies of Scripture had been printed. Since the year 2000, under the leadership of Pastor William Dutry, we have produced another 111 million scriptures.
Thank you.
And so that's a video of our print shop there, a lot of the equipment that we have, and I wanted to show that for the purpose that you saw where our ministry started. We started with that 1250 multi-lift press, and they went to some professional printers trying to get help to get started when they first started in 1973, and the man said that you will never be able to print Bibles on that press. That's not supposed to print Bibles. It's only supposed to do like bulletins or flyers. And they had already printed several thousand Bibles on that. And you saw in the picture 12,000 New Testaments the first year, and it kept growing. And in the, I think, the 70s, it said about 220,000 John Romans in like 10 years. If we were running properly, we could do about 200,000 in about a day if we ran well. About 8-9 hours, we could do that in just one day. So God is really blessed and really given our ministry the tools to be able to print his word even more. In that video, the press, the video is almost outdated now because we added onto our web press another tower that allows us to be able to print twice as fast. So instead of 26,000 John Romans an hour, we can now print 50,000 John Romans an hour. So as we have been added onto and blessed greatly for just being able to print his word. And the need that I want to talk to you about, I wanted to show that first before this video about the country of Sierra Leone. If we didn't have the beginnings that we had with Bearing Precious Seed, if we didn't have all those men who faithfully served and founded the ministry and have been working there, we wouldn't have this opportunity that we have that I'm about to show you. And it's just wonderful to see God opening up doors that we would not have access to on our own power. And if you would show the video, it's in a country of Sierra Leone, and you'll see the information from that.
The ministry of Bearing Precious Seed is all about getting the word of God out to people around the world that need to know about Jesus Christ. One of the great opportunities that the Lord has given us is in the country of Sierra Leone. In Sierra Leone, they've given us the privilege of being able to give a copy of God's Word to every member of the active duty military. Not only that, but we've given a personalized copy to every member of the National Police Force. Through those two open doors, the Lord has opened another door. The government there has requested that we get a copy of God's Word to every student in every school in the entire country of Sierra Leone. Imagine the impact that this will have on a nation. A country, every police officer, every member of their military, and every school-aged child to have a copy of God's Word. We know that God's Word is powerful. We know that it changes lives. Imagine the difference that it's going to make for the people in Sierra Leone. But none of this would be possible if it wasn't for people here in the United States of America that support the ministry of Bearing Precious Seed, that give to National Bible Publishing Month. Thank you for being involved, and we pray that you'll continue to support and be involved in the ministry of Bearing Precious Seed. Please take a few moments of your time to watch this video and see what the Lord is doing around the world.
You know, here in our nation, here people find it difficult to buy at least one Bible. They can afford to buy so many other things, but to buy a Bible, they find it so difficult.
Not everybody can afford to buy a Bible, considering the current economy in the country.
We've spent a week here, and the Lord has done great things.
Our nation, you know, is dominated by Muslims, and even the police force as a whole. So I believe that this Bible will help us greatly to propagate this gospel of the kingdom.
Looking at Sierra Leone over the years, we have been through a lot of problems. The Sierra Leone rebel war that started in 1991, then also with the Ebola crisis that consumed so many innocent lives, So it's like the people of this country need the word of God.
It's hard to believe, though, that a country that's been through civil war so recently, a nation that's just come out of an Ebola crisis, that the Lord has opened up such a great door of opportunity here. Even as we speak, there's 350 police officers in the building right next to me.
The police have been challenged with living out their Christianity in a way that will make an impact on this city of Freetown, the capital.
The conference is very, very impactful. A lot of the participants have received the word, and some of them have given their life to Jesus Christ through the ministration of the word.
It will be different for them in their personal lives as they leave the building in which they've been taught the word of God and go out into the streets of the city and put that into action and to change the culture in which they're in and live out the word of God. They have committed themselves to do that, and we ask you to pray for them.
The training they're receiving is not tactical, but the training they're receiving is spiritual. We have a nation here that is begging for the word of God. We've not come to them and asked them if they would like these Bibles. They've come to us and said, can you provide a Bible for every active duty police officer in our nation? Can you provide a Bible for every member of the military in our nation? And the people of God in the United States of America have answered.
Bearing Precious Seed Publishing has provided us with Bibles for our military.
In all these years, we have never received the Word of God with our crest on it. So it makes our soldiers so proud to have the Word of God with their crest on it. You see, so in terms of morale, spiritually, it is very high. And it has contributed immensely towards the reformation and transformation of the lives of our soldiers, their dependents, and even the country as a whole.
Having Bible specifically, you know, tailor-made for the RSLAF is a unique opportunity.
Every active military received a complete Bible as a result of so many of you who gave and made that possible.
I love the Bible because it's the Word of God. It helped me a lot. It helped to shape up my life.
You've given, you've sacrificed. What's happening here is a result of those who've given to the ministry of Bearing Precious Seed through National Bible Publishing Month. National Bible Publishing Month is more than just paper. It's more than just rolls that go onto a press. It's about people receiving the Word of God. And here in a country that's been through such difficult times, we thank you so much for your involvement. Every person that's taken a coin folder and filled it with quarters and maybe thought, I wonder what'll happen with these quarters. I can tell you what's happened. People have received the Word of God. Lives have been transformed, and a nation is being transformed because of your gift and your sacrifice.
It's a great blessing, and we value it. We cherish it.
It is a gift, you know, of God.
Thank you to the American people, all those who contributed their cents and dollars, and those who even came to help during the printing of these Bibles. We want to say thank you. And those who have been supporting us in their prayers, we are very much grateful.
Words are not enough, actually, to express our thanks and appreciation.
Thank you for providing us the Word of God for these needy people who do not have copies of Scripture. And that's made possible by you, and I thank you for your sacrifice.
So we want to say we are very, very much appreciative of your kind gesture, and I believe you did it so that the Word of God will be, you know, spread far and wide, and that has been achieved. And I want to say thank you, and thanks to the Almighty God.
A big thank you to Bearing Precious Seed Ministry and all the churches in the United States of America. Thank you very much for this great provision, the Bibles.
Just wanted to show you that need, and that's something special. Not many countries come to us and ask us for Bibles. We have to find missionaries, find countries that allow us to get it in. In this country, the government is coming and asking us to supply these Bibles, And not only in that video, they're asking for more Bibles. They're asking for Bibles for all the people that are in the fire departments. They're asking for all the people that work in correctional facilities. They're asking for Bibles, just generic Bibles, so that they can go and plant churches in different towns and villages and give people whole Bibles. They're asking for more Bibles for the military because they've already used up all of the ones that we printed and sent over there. And they're getting new recruits in the military, so they want more for them. And they just keep and come, and they're asking for the Word of God. We're getting ready to send over containers to Sierra Leone for them to distribute out in the schools. They'll be going over in November, and they'll be in 2 to 3 schools a day preaching and handing out the Bible to all these school children. And it's just exciting to see God open up that door, because that doesn't happen very much. You don't see too many governments asking, please send us Bible. So I just wanted to share that with you. This morning we'll be in Acts chapter 8. But you saw on that on the video there was a Seed Line project. A lot of the Bibles going for the kids are John and Romans. So churches put those together, and they helped supply Bibles for people who don't have them. And they even said thank you for supplying them for people who can't afford it, who can't have access to it. And your church this past weekend, you gave and you sacrificed so that 18,000 people could have a copy of God's Word. You gave and you supplied, and you see the fruit of your labor at the altar here, and you see these 55 boxes, and you see what you did in just a short couple hours, because I had to stop you, some of you at some point, so we'd have work to last us for a little bit longer. But we did this in just about 5 hours. Your church came and you sacrificed and gave and worked hard, and 18,000 people now will have access to the Word of God. I don't know exactly where it's going to be going. I know that it's going to be a country where they speak Spanish. I do know that. And but there's a lot of our Spanish is such in high demand. It could go to several places in Mexico. Could go to several South American countries in Central America. So it has a lot of possible destinations. But just know that in third world countries, which a lot of those countries would be, each John and Roman passes between 1 and 7 people's hands, just because they're passing around. There's so many that they can pass out 18,000 in probably 30 minutes on the street corners, passing them out, and they'd be gone really quick. And one to seven people will touch it, and usually one person will get saved from those people that handle it. So you are possibly looking at 18,000 people that you have supplied Bibles for that will come to know Jesus Christ because of the few short hours that you gave. So I just want to say thank you for your sacrifice, for your giving, and it's going to mean a lot. Pastor said that this is something that you sacrificed and gave for. This was, if you would say, it was easy to work on these scriptures. You know, it was easy for us to come together, maybe harder for others on a Saturday morning to get up and come. But we came and we worked just for a couple hours folding covers, putting covers on the Bibles and stapling them. And that was easy. But you know what? This is going to be eternal. We don't know the impact that these Bibles are going to have. One day when we get to heaven, you might be able to meet someone that said, thank you for putting that John Roman together. Thank you for doing that. Because of that, I got to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And because you gave, I was able to receive this. So just, there's so much that went into this, and we only see the beginning of this project. You think that the project is over, but this is just the beginning, because these have to go back, and we have to find places for them to go. And they'll go out quickly, but just thank you so much for that. And this morning, we'll be in, like I said, Acts chapter 8, and we'll be looking at an example that we have. Some of you, if you know where we're going, we're looking at the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And we see an example for us here in this chapter. And examples are for our benefit. A lot of times we have examples or how to do videos, how to do list of stuff that tells us step by step what to do and step by step how to accomplish something. And we see examples and lists in Scripture of things that we can take, examples of how the church is supposed to run, examples of how missions is supposed to be laid out, which we'll be looking at this morning. And we see a lot of critical tools in this passage. And this is going to help us kind of see an example or see how God wants missions to be done. And one of the big factors, big tools that is used in this passage is that it's the Word of God. You know, Philip himself was not able, he could have done it himself, but he would have been using the Word of God by word of mouth. But the eunuch had a copy of Scripture, and that was going to help him come to see Christ. He needed the message, but you know, also we'll see that he needed the messenger as well. You know, these 18,000 scriptures, they are great and they're fantastic, but if we don't have a missionary that we're sending them to, they're not going to be used very much. We can't really do much with them. If we just take them back and say, you know, we printed this many and it just sits in our warehouse, they're not going to do anything. They need to be able to be sent to the mission field and have a messenger to take them. But you know, a messenger by itself cannot do everything that the message can do. They need each other. One cannot work completely without the other. And so you supplied 18,000 to go to a messenger who can take that and hand it out to the people in a Spanish-speaking country. Because you know, the messenger, a missionary, he can go to a country, he can work for years, and if he doesn't have anything he can leave with, when he comes back off the field, they may only know what he said, and they may forget it, because we, as people, forget easily what we've been told. I'm sure that I've forgotten what I was told yesterday from my wife, and she tries to tell me stuff, and I just forget right away, and I get in trouble for that. But how much as we as people forget what God tells us to do if we don't have his word written down? So, you know, that's what the people need. They need the message, but they also need a messenger to work with. And we'll see how that works so well together in this passage. And we'll stop and pray. Then we'll dive right in verse 5 and 25. But let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for all that you have done for us. Thank you for bringing us here this morning that we can open up your word and hear from it. Please speak to our hearts. Please help you to be seen greater. Help us see the truth that your word has for us. Work in the way that you see fit. Help everybody see you greater. And just thank you for your word that we have our own personal copies for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now look in verse 5. It says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." You see, and Philip here in this passage, he is getting involved. He is getting involved in spreading the word of God. It says that he went to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. Now, we have a dilemma at the beginning. If you all know, at the beginning of chapter 8, in the first 3-4 verses, there's persecution against the church. Saul, who will eventually become Paul, but he's still a Pharisee. He's still persecuting the church. He's coming to the church and he is attacking them. And that is causing them to spread out. That's causing them to go to different places so they can avoid this persecution. But that persecution came about because there was a failure that the church failed to do. They had a command that they were not obeying. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, "But ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That both and, God wanted them to be witnessing in all these different locations all at once. He didn't want them just to focus in at Jerusalem, and then after they won Jerusalem, then go to all of Judea, then to Samaria, then to the uttermost. He said, no, I want you to be doing it simultaneously. And the church was failing because they were just staying there in Jerusalem. And God is looking at them and says, you're failing, you're not obeying me. So he brought about this persecution so he could scatter the church himself so that they would go and witness in all these other places because they were failing. You know, we at the modern day church, we have had failure as well. You know, back in the New Testament time, after they had been persecuted and they spread out and they started obeying that command, you can see in Scripture where several times where it talks about how it talks about Paul and they turned the world upside down. How the whole world is turned upside down because they're witnessing. They're going in all these places, starting churches. People are coming to know God as Savior. They're stopping false worshiping, and they turn the world upside down. There's places where it talks about how they have gone to most of the known world, and most of the known world had access to the Word of God. They had access to someone preaching to them, and they had almost reached the entire known world at that time. But you know what? We have failed because now there's 3.5 billion people, maybe more, that sit in darkness today that have no idea about the name of Jesus Christ, that don't have access to a Bible, that don't even have a, some of them don't have a written language. Someone would have to go over, spend a lifetime to learn the language, and then develop an alphabet so that they could write it down. Then you'd have to teach the people to read and write so that they could actually read the Word of God themselves. And then you have to translate it into the Bible. And then you have to go get it printed, raise the money to print it. And you have to then get it to the people. So that takes a lot of time. There's 3.5 billion people that we let slip away and slip into complete darkness that don't have access to the Word of God. That's something that we just sat by for years and didn't, either it didn't bother us, it didn't mean anything to us because we couldn't see them, but there's so many people that don't have access to the Word of God. And you know, that's a failure on our part, and we have to correct that and start getting involved so that we can get people the Word of God. And you as a church got involved so that people could come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. But, you know, we see Philip, he's getting involved. He's preaching to the city of Samaria. In verse 25, we also see that he is going through the villages of the Samaritans. It says, "And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." You know, they told all the people who, there was people that came down from Jerusalem, came to Samaria because they heard all what's going on. And they saw how the people were receiving the word of God. And they came and they preached even more. And so people were getting involved and preaching and witnessing to these people in Samaria. And Philip, he himself is getting involved here in and witnessing for the Lord. You know, we have to look at ourselves in our lives and ask ourselves, are we involved right now with witnessing for him? Are we involved right now for telling other people about Jesus Christ? I'm pretty sure there's people in the community here in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, that do not know who Jesus Christ is. They may have not heard him, or if they have heard his name, they only know it as a derogatory word that they use, as a slang word that they use in vain. That's the only thing that they know about God. And there's people in your town that don't know about him. And there's, so there's people that we have that we can witness to. There's people when we go in the store, the grocery store, that we can hand out a tract, or we can witness to them and invite them to church. There's people who don't know about Jesus Christ and that he died for them on the cross and that he paid the payment for them so that he could become their Savior. They don't know about that. So Philip is getting involved and he's witnessing to these Samaritans people. This morning, are you obeying Christ and his commands to witness to other people? Acts 1:8 applies to us. All the Great Commission verses and in the Gospels, they apply to us. Mark 16:15, all the different, there's Luke 10:2. He says, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." There's a harvest. There's a harvest out here in Mechanicsburg right now. There's a harvest field around the world that they're waiting for the word of God to come to them. They're waiting to hear about Jesus Christ. Are we involved right now in witnessing to them? God wants us to be involved. He wants us to not have our involvement stop at the offering plate or stop at this project. Even though it's great to give to missions, it's great to come to a Seed Line project and be burdened by the Word of God. But you know what? We can't say that our mission work is completed by putting money in the offering plate or by coming to a project and putting Bibles together. We have to physically ourselves go out there and witness to other people because that's what God wants us to do. Imagine with me this morning that you are a truck driver. Okay, truck drivers, they get paid by the miles that they drive for accomplishing the deliveries that they do. You know, logically, they get a greater reward for the more jobs that they accomplish. They drive to a location, drop off a load, go somewhere else, pick up another load, and drive across country. So there's people, they get paid by the mile. They have to be out driving. They have to be out delivering and doing these jobs so they can live. You know, just think with me that one day you are a truck driver. You get a call to pick up a load and deliver it to a certain warehouse. You know, you go to the, you get to the location that's already waiting. You have your truck hooked up, and all you have to do is just drive out and start driving and go to the warehouse so that you can get paid, so that you can get this reward. You know, you sit, you get in the truck, and you imagine, you know, I'm going to get a pretty good reward for this job. You know, there's going to be this big reward coming once I get to this warehouse. Once I drop off this load, I can go somewhere else, and then I can get another reward. And so you imagine that you think about the reward that's going to be coming from for completing this. You think about that you have the directions next to you. You kind of look at the route, and you say, okay, oh, I have to go this state route. I have to go down this road. And you think about all these different instructions. You have everything that you need. You have your tank is completely full. You have everything that you need. All you have to do is drive to the location. But you know what? You don't turn on the truck. You never put it, you can't put it in gear because it's never, you don't have the truck turned on. You're just sitting there thinking about the reward. How many times is that like us as Christians? We're told we have everything that we need to witness to people. We have the instructions on what to do. But you know, if we're not going and we're not getting involved now, we're not going to be getting the reward of giving God more glory for someone coming to know him. Because you know, he gets more glory when people come to know him. So when we get to heaven, more people can honor and glorify him because they want to. We don't work to see people come to know him so that we can get a reward for ourselves. When we get that reward, we're going to cast it back at his feet and have more crowns that we can throw and praise him because of what he's done. But you know, if we just sit there and we don't do anything and we don't get involved now, it's going to be hard for us to be able to keep doing more tasks that he has for us. If you think about that truck driver, he can't get a new instruction. He can't get a new task, a new job to do if he doesn't complete the, if he doesn't start completing the one he's been assigned to do. He can't, if he's not, if he doesn't start the truck and he doesn't give the truck gas and it starts driving down the street, he can't turn down the right way of where to go. He can't be following the instruction that he is given if he is not getting involved. He's not starting that truck and moving. And we as Christians need to learn to get involved now before it gets too late to where we think, oh, I can't get involved. And we have to start getting involved now and acting now so we have the opportunity when more jobs or more assignments come that we can obey those because we've done that in the past and we know what to do. Because we've been given everything that we need in the scripture to witness to people and how to, it talks about how they God can give us the spirit of boldness that we can witness to people. Sometimes, you know, I get scared when you're going to talk to people. You know, sometimes it's almost easier to talk to saved people than it is to unsaved people because they don't know what you know, and you get intimidated about witnessing for them because they may think that you're weird or what, they have no idea what you're talking about, and you have to just get involved now. And that's what Philip was doing. We see his example that he was involved. And the next step, we see that he listened. In verse 26, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." In verse 27, "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." So we see here that the Holy Spirit comes to Philip and says, you know, I want you to leave where you're at right now, and I want you to go to Gaza, go to this strip, and I want you to, there's a person, actually he doesn't even tell him that there's someone there. He just says, I want you to get up and go. And you know what, Philip, he immediately obeyed the Holy Spirit's call, and he went up and he arose and went immediately to this place. You know, if we would have been thinking ourselves in our own mind how we act sometimes, he's in Samaria right now and they're having a revival. There's many people come to know Christ as their Savior. He might be thinking, God, why do you want me to leave here? There's so much good going on right here. There's so much people coming to know you. Why would you want me to leave here and go to a desert place? That doesn't make sense to me. But you know, we can't go on what makes sense to us. We just have to obey God. And we see that Philip, he listened to the Holy Spirit's call. And we have to answer and we have to respond immediately like Philip did so we can continue to obey him in the future. Because, you know, if he comes up and says, you know, I want you to do this task, and we think that's crazy, I don't think I'm going to do that, and we start telling him no, it gets easier to tell the Holy Spirit no the more times he comes to ask witness to this person, no, I don't want to do that. It comes easier to say no, and if we don't just respond immediately and obey correctly, it's going to be hard for us to keep listening to the Holy Spirit's guiding and leading. You know, how many times we're in a grocery store or we're out in public and we see someone, we're not intending to, we just look up and someone catches our eye, and you have a prick from the Holy Spirit that says, why don't you go and witness to that person? And we think in our busy schedule, God, I don't have time. I got to go here. I got to get this accomplished. I got to go to the grocery store. Then I got to go to church. I got to go do this different task. And we think we get so busy. Sometimes we get so busy thinking, doing the good things that we miss out on what God wants us to do. And that's to witness to people in our community. We get too busy trying to do certain church tasks that we forget about the greatest church task that we have been given, and that's to witness and bring people to know him. You know, God doesn't speak in loud, audible voices. He speaks in that still, small voice and that prick in our heart, and we all have felt that. I know I felt that too, and I am ashamed sometimes when you feel that and you're saying, God, I'm you know what? I'm too busy. I can't do it. The next time. Or maybe we're not prepared and we don't have a track with us, or we don't have something to witness for us, and we use that as an excuse and we leave immediately. We need to learn to not have excuses and not have that fear, and to follow Philip's example and to listen to the Spirit's call. We see that he assisted the man. In verse 30, we see that Philip ran to him in verse 29 because he listened to the Spirit again. And in verse 30, it says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Here, this is what I'm talking about. When I said at the beginning that we need the message and the messenger, the eunuch, he is in a chariot. He's reading from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. He's reading in the Old Testament, and he's reading this passage, and he's probably thinking, I have no idea what this is saying. He has the message right in front of him that can teach him about Jesus Christ and can teach him about salvation, about what he's going to be doing, but he doesn't have someone to guide him. And Philip, who is the messenger, he comes and he helps guides the man. He assists him. And so the eunuch, he needed help. He needed Philip to come help him. But you know, if the opposite would be true as well, if Philip was the only person there, he would have needed the message. He would have needed God's word to help him witness to the man as well. So that's how they go hand in hand, is you need both of them to be able to work. And Philip here, he assists the man in being able to explain to him the Bible and be able to explain to him what it meant. You know, the world needs someone to guide them. We can give them all the Bibles that they want, but we need to be able to assist and to guide them. You know, the truth is even the same for new Christians or new believers. They need someone to help guide them as they grow in Jesus Christ. But here, if we have someone, a lost person, if we're witnessing to them and they have a question, how can we help guide them to Jesus Christ if we don't know the Bible ourselves? Philip here, he knew what he was reading here in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. And he knew how he could guide him from that passage. We need to know the Bible enough ourselves, be able to know ways to witness to people, so that as we know the Word of God, we can witness to people, we can show them and guide them to Jesus Christ. We have to have it hidden in our hearts that we can help others. We can't help them if we have no clue with their questions about the Bible. You know, sometimes they come and they ask questions that are completely unrelated, and you kind of have to get them back to the Word of God. But if they have a specific question about the Scripture or about getting saved, and you say, I don't know, we are not being good stewards with what we have, because we can be in His Word each and every day and get to know it better every day, get to know it and how we can win someone to the Lord. And so he preached unto him Jesus. And we see a pattern. And when he was in Samaria, he preached Christ unto them. And when he came to the eunuch, he preached Jesus unto them. What greater example for us that, you know, what do we need to tell the lost people? What do we need to tell people? We just need to preach Jesus unto them. Preach how he died on the cross for their sins, that he went to the grave, that he rose from the grave, and that he's in heaven right now, and that he can be their savior, that he died for them, and that they don't have to go to a place called hell. I hope that you all know that this morning. But, you know, he preached Jesus unto them. You know, and in verses 36 to 39, he baptized the man. He helped lead him into the first steps after salvation and telling him what to do. He baptized the man. And we kind of let's take a step back and think, what's the importance of all this? You know, he's reaching the Ethiopian eunuch. That's just one guy. If Philip would have said no to the Holy Spirit, if he would have said, no, I don't think I'm going to go to Gaza, and he missed out on that opportunity to witness to the Ethiopian eunuch, what would be the results of that? Well, we have history for us that the Ethiopian eunuch, he's going back to, obviously, Ethiopia, and he's under Candace the queen, and history tells us that because of this one man's conversion, he went back to his country and he started telling other people about Jesus Christ, that it helped make Ethiopia a Christian nation. He helped be in witness to the people in his country. And so several people, thousands, heard because of this one man that was witness and won to the Jesus Christ. Does anybody know of the name Edward Kimball? Does anybody recognize that name, Edward Kimball? He's someone that played a significant role, even though we may all forget him. He was the man, he was a Sunday school teacher who made his priority to reach D.L. Moody. And we all know the name D.L. Moody. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher who would go into the shoe shop that D.L. Moody worked at and kept working on him, trying to bring him to church and led him to the Lord. You know, what if Edward Kimball would have said, you know, I don't feel like going and witnessing to D.L. Moody. I don't feel like going to the shoe shop. I don't feel like taking the time, the effort that needs to win him. If he would have said no to that, millions of people who were affected, or I think it's about a million conversions under D.L. Moody, about a million people would not have heard D.L. Moody witnessing and preaching for the Lord. He would not have been able to start the Moody Bible Institute. So, you know, one person that we think may not be very important, that could be someone that could change the eternal destination for hundreds of people, thousands of people. We don't know what one person can do. But we see that Philip, that he was already involved in the first couple verses, that he listened to the Holy Spirit's call, but we see last that he repeated. In verse 40, if you look at Acts chapter 8, verse 40, it says, "But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." Now in verse 39, after he baptized the man, the Holy Spirit took him from that baptism place and just took him to this place. And we see here that he was found in Azotus. You know, he kept repeating these steps. You know, he just kept getting involved where he was at. He kept witnessing to people where he was at and following the Holy Spirit's call and guidance as he kept moving to these cities. And if we see here, he kept preaching in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. You know, he started in Jerusalem, which is kind of neat. You know, we see in this example, Philip basically completed the Great Commission in this chapter. You know, he started in Jerusalem and he was witnessing there, and the persecution happened and he went to Samaria. He went to Samaria, the place where the Jews hated the Samaritans, but he went there because you can see through, maybe he saw through example of Christ that, you know, Christ went to the Samaritans, but he went to the Samaritans and he witnessed to them. And then he went to Gaza, which is in Judea. So he went to Judea and he was witnessing there. So he's witnessed in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria. And he's making his way up into Caesarea and Azotus. And he's trying to make his way up into the uttermost parts of the earth and keep going. So we see Philip, he keeps getting involved and he keeps repeating and just spreading the gospel in different areas. And he just didn't stop after these victories. You know, he might think in Samaria if he would have stopped, because you know what? I did my witnessing for the month, per se. I basically got a whole village to have revival. I think I'm good for today. But you know, he didn't stop there. He went to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he didn't say after the Ethiopian eunuch, you know, I'm going to stop for now. I need a break. You know, he kept preaching in all these different cities. He kept getting involved, and he kept going. He didn't quit and check off any to-do list. He just said, you know, I want to keep getting involved in witnessing for Christ. These people, they need the Lord, and I'm going to keep witnessing. You know, in our lives, we can't quit and we can't stop working and can't quit witnessing for God after a victory. You know, that victory leads us to another person that needs Jesus Christ as well. We have to keep getting involved and keep witnessing for the Lord. Because, again, they may not be here, but there's 3.5 billion people who sit in darkness that they have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. There's always going to be someone that we could witness to. You know, if we witness the people, you reach your town in Mechanicsburg, wouldn't it be awesome to say that everybody in Mechanicsburg has heard Jesus Christ, has been witnessed to, or that you have won Mechanicsburg to Jesus Christ? You would have to grow your church by a lot because you would not be able to fit everybody in this auditorium. Wouldn't that be fantastic to be able to have to grow onto the church because so many people keep coming to know Jesus Christ? And we have to keep working and keep getting involved and repeating because the task will not be done. And I pray that you keep getting involved and giving towards missions. You know, you might not be able to go to the mission field, but you support people who do. You may not be able to speak Spanish or speak a different language, but you might be able to help purchase Bibles or help assist in getting Bibles towards those people. So we have to make sure that we keep getting involved and repeating and taking that leap of faith that God asks us to do. This morning we have looked at the example of Philip, how that he was involved in witnessing for Jesus Christ. He was involved. He already got involved. You know, that he listened to the Spirit's call when he kept asking him to do something else and go to a new step, a new area, and he kept obeying immediately. He wasn't questioning. He just said, "Yes, Lord, whatever you'd have for me to do, I'll do it." And we see that he kept repeating. He didn't stop. He didn't quit. He just kept getting involved. This morning, what are you struggling with? Are you struggling or having a hard time getting involved in the first place? Do you need help with starting to witness to people, just carrying tracts and handing them out? I saw there's track racks in the lobby. I'm sure if you just grab those and carry them with you in your car or in your purse or always have them with you, that can help you. Just after you hand out one, it starts to get easier if you keep making that a habit. You keep doing that, that habit can keep up, and maybe you can keep going and start witnessing, and God can open up more doors and give you more responsibilities that he has for you. Do we have the trouble of listening to the Holy Spirit's call? Do we sometimes, we have witness, we witness when we know we feel like it or when we want to, but do we listen to when the Spirit tells us to go out of our way to witness to someone or when he asks us to do something we may think is crazy? Maybe he's asking one of you to become a missionary and you're struggling with that because you're like, I don't want to leave the comforts of my home or I don't want to leave and go to a place where I don't know anyone. But you know, we have to learn to respond to him and listen to him and obey him because there are people that need him, that need the Lord. And this morning, are we struggling with just quitting after we have a victory? Do we need to make sure that we keep getting back and keep witnessing and keep working hard? This morning, whatever God's working on your heart, would you just get that right with him? You know, if everybody would bow their heads and close their eyes, I'll turn the service back over to Pastor. Just this morning, as we look at the mission example by Philip in Acts chapter 8, what is it that God's speaking to you about?